Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
On today's episode of Capital Hacking.
You were never meant to fit in. You were meant to dominate, lead, conquer, design, disrupt. And that's what masterminds are for. It's to increase your community, increase your support mechanism, and the crowd is important.
Here's the one.
I have a dream.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I can do this all day.
This is it. Don't get scared now.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Cinderella story out of nowhere.
It's in the hole.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Capital Hacking begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Capital Hacking. Wow, today we got old school on you guys. I know you haven't been around this in a while, but we just listened to our own entrance song, that thing that Eric produced, where, you know, 3, 2, 1, Capital Hacking. It pumps you up every time, and you guys get to hear it every show because you're listening to it post-production, you lucky dogs, driving your damn Teslas. Anyway, you don't even need to hold onto the wheel, I hear. So today, let go of the wheel. Let Tesla man drive it for you, or lady. And you, grab a pen and paper, because we're going to talk about some crazy mastermind stuff today. But first, Eric, how are you doing?
I am absolutely pumped and jazzed for today, always, because I'm with you, of course. Well, but then we have an amazing guest who I've been looking forward to this conversation for quite some time. A little blow kiss. Yeah. Well, I'm pumped today. We're good.
All right. Well, look, today's show, I saw this gentleman on the intronet. I think it's where the interwebs come together. And his name is Steve Sims. He's the author of Blue Fishing. He's famous in our little universe because he's around the biggest masterminds in the world. I think even Genius Network. He says he's trying to wiggle his way into GoBundance. You and I could figure out a way to help him out on that. And he's friends with, those awesome dudes over at Bigger Pockets, David Green and Brandon Turner, and all of the other people. And I saw him giving a talk on an internet picture in Hawaii. And I said, that's the kind of guy we got to be around. We need to meet Mr. Steve Sims. So Steve Sims, welcome to the big show.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm glad to see that you guys haven't been on too much caffeine this morning.
Welcome.
And he says morning because he's a West Coast, and I'm on the East Coast. It's not even morning here anymore. but we should get some coffee because this is going to be big. You think we have energy? I have watched you, Steve. You are bringing the house down. So, Eric, I'll let you take on the first question.
I mean, there's so much to unpack, and we're not going to have enough time here. But let's start a little bit from the beginning. You know, where did it all begin? What's the superhero radioactive bug that started Steve Sims on this path?
It's exactly the same as absolutely everyone else. Anyone else listening to this is the exact same as me, just maybe not as good looking. I think we all started off by being pissed off and aggravated. I left school at the age of 15 in East London, and I got working on my dad's building site. And I woke up one day and I was like, is this it? Now, bearing in mind, this was the 80s and 90s, so I didn't have Instagram and Facebook to show me how inadequate my life was. I just had a sense that, you know, surely there's got to be something better. So I was getting up at 4:30 in the morning to get on the building site, coming home wet at 8 o'clock at night. And so I went out to try and speak quite openly to a billionaire. I wanted to meet a billionaire because in my village, you know, we didn't know what a billionaire looked like. We didn't know how they acted. I thought there's got to be something different. They've got to have some kind of like, you know, magic fairy dust or something. And I wanted a piece of it. So I started a journey trying loads of different jobs, trying to surround myself with wealthy people so that I could tap them on the shoulder and go, Josh, why are you rich and I'm not? And I ended up becoming a Mr. Fixer, you know, the nice version of Ray Donovan, until you don't pay my invoice, and then I am Ray Donovan. And I just became the Make-A-Wish Foundation for billionaires and launched the world's largest experiential concierge that sent people down to the Titanic, got them driving Formula One cars in Monaco, singing on stage with their favorite rock band, drum lessons by Guns N' Roses, guitar lessons by ZZ Top, married in the Vatican by the Pope. I basically became the guy that if your checkbook was big enough, I would make it happen But it was kind of like an alter ego because it was always a Trojan horse. I wanted to get into a room and ask that question. And for 25 years did. And then 3 years ago, wrote a book on it. And that's where I am today.
Too many fun little tidbits there, but I'll let you go first, Eric.
No, I mean, there's so many stories. You know, we know you've rubbed elbows, hung out with, you know, like you said, billionaires like Richard Branson, you know, and all the greats. It's like, I want to know all those things. But then also let's talk about the now, like sort of where we can go back in time. And Josh and I love jumping into the DeLorean and, you know, time traveling. But yeah, what are some of the things that you're building and growing and making wishes happen today?
Well, as I say, I think all entrepreneurs and all business owners start from a point of aggravation. You mentioned Genius Network, good buddy Joe Polish. He always said that it's aggravated oysters that make pearls. And I think all entrepreneurs are irritated about something. I remember Elon Musk saying how irritated he was that it took 5 days to wire money from one US bank to another US bank. You know, why? And so he invented PayPal to get over that. So we all do things to create the life that we want. 3 years ago, after I'd been doing all of this with the rich and powerful, and I ended up finishing my contract with Sir Elton John, I think like 2 years ago. So I'd really been literally hanging around with kings and queens and people that own things like countries. And these were my clients. I got the chance of writing a book. Now, I will tell you straight off the bat, I didn't think anyone would like it. I didn't think anyone would believe it. But I wanted to write a book to do a revelation on how people need to communicate, how they need to build up, you know, their relationship capital, how they need to focus on relationships, your net worth is your network, you know, all that kind of stuff, and how true that is and how bad we're becoming at it. So selfishly, I wrote the book trying to get a few people to change the way that they did things to help create a bit more of a world that I wanted to live in and I wanted my kids to grow up in. As I say, when I launched the book 3 years ago in October, I didn't even have a website because I thought to myself, I don't know if this is going to, you know, go anywhere. And we mentioned one of my buddies earlier, Tim Ferriss, and I had Ryan Holiday and Tucker Max that basically got hold of me with Jay Abraham, name dropping badly now.
Yeah, you are just pretty went, good at that.
Yeah, they were like, you're doing this badly. You know, this is what you got to do. So when I say I had like a serious mentor group around me telling me how to get the book out there, lo and behold, it got me traveling all over the world, coaching, speaking, training. You mentioned an event I did with those weird dysfunctional characters over at Bigger Pockets, Brandon.
Congratulations.
And that's
congrats.
What I do now.
Wow.
People really did take it, read the book, or watch the Instagrams, or watch the videos, or, you know, join Sims Distillery, whatever, and go, hang on a minute, if this nut job from London can be doing this, I'm already out of excuses. And so this is where it's landed me now to be able to talk to guys like you.
I love how the Brits, you guys who are now American, by the way, Steve Sims is a new American citizen as of a couple days ago.
2 days old.
2 days. He's a 2 day. He's still wearing diapers, but there's another reason for that. The guy is awesome. So, and by the way, we do not judge diaper wearers. It's okay. 2 days old. Anyway, episode 409 on Bigger Pockets a couple years ago. You're saying that was a pivotal time. It launched a lot of books. Sales, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't. And the funny thing, I wasn't ever watching book sales. Here's a story for you that'll make you giggle, possibly. Simon Schuster were the guys that got hold of me. You know, like we spoke earlier about your capital being the people that you're with. If you have an amazing room, amazing happens. So I was literally in a bar. It's been known to happen. And I met someone from Simon & Schuster. I didn't know they were with Simon & Schuster. I didn't even know what Simon & Schuster was. And as we're just drinking old fashions and telling stories, they asked me to write a book on who the people are and what they get up to. And I said, no, if I named a lot of my clients, I'd be dead by cocktail hour. So no, we can't be doing that. And then, and we mentioned him earlier, Joe Polish, he had an event called the Genius Network Annual Event. And was stupid enough to ask me to do a keynote on there. And so I did a speech, and they got wind of it and saw the video and said, well, hang on a minute, let's not do a name-dropping book, unlike this podcast has been. let's do a book on how you do things. And so when we did that, again, already I've explained, I didn't think it would go anywhere. they said to me, you've got to do a book launch. Part of your contract, and they paid me very nicely. Thank you very much, Simon Schuster. They said, you've got to do a book launch. And I had no website. And I thought, well, okay, what do I do? And they sent me $2,500. It was the smallest payment by far I got from these people. And I'm like, oh, and they sent it to me by check, which was weird. And I'm like, what's this for? And they went, we want you to get a table down at your local Barnes & Noble on a Saturday afternoon and sign autographed copies and hand out champagne. So I'm thinking to myself, you're walking through the local mall of Los Angeles with your kids. You look over at me and go, well, he looks nice. Let's go and have a chat with him. I'm going to be the only guy at this table for an entire afternoon. So I said to him, I'd like to do it a little bit different. Are you okay with that? And they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I went to a local whiskey bar that, again, I'd been to a couple of times.
Been known to do.
Yeah, been known to do. And I gave it to him. I gave him the check and I said, look, here's the scoop. I want to take it over next Thursday because it was the launch date, October the 13th, I think it was. I said, I'll give you the check. I'll sign it over to you. It was written to me. When it runs out, turn the lights on and kick us out and I'm going to invite some friends. And that's what we did. And I told Simon Schuster that, oh, yeah, I've taken over this, you know, cool LA venue. It was a whiskey bar in the back end of Hollywood. And they said, okay, as long as there's a display of books for any kind of photographs. And I'm like, shit. So we turned up at the event and on the end of the bar, just like whacked up a little pyramid of these books, took a couple of little pictures of it. And that was it. But we invited, again, when you've got good friends, good things happen. We invited everyone from like Jim Quick, Greg Reed, Lewis Howes, no Jesse way. Elder, Matt Maddox. So, you know, we got good people. So they all came along. But I have to give a shout out to Sanya Hadda. And I know you're going to think this is a plug, and it's absolutely...
plug away, my
seriously
brother.
Seriously not. Cole and Sanya Hadda, they run an amazing event in Vegas called Thrive.
It's amazing.
They're also very good at video and everything, like a lot of people now are on social. And she said to me, Cole needs some B-roll and you've got some pretty decent names here. Can we do a little bit of a video shoot with these in the background for his video? And I went, knock yourself out. You know, I don't care. And so that was the premise of them bringing along this one guy with the camera for Cole. But she's a lying little bitch, because what she did was 2 days later, she sent me this video, which they had done so beautifully. And they did a launch party video of blue fishing with all of these people. And Simon Schuster contacted me and they said, we haven't seen photographs. We haven't seen promotions. You don't even have a website. And I got this video. And so here's a shallow plug, stevedsims.com. Don't buy anything. So I'm getting you off the hook there. Go to the website, scroll down, and you'll see the book launch video there. And Simon Schuster said, we need to see something. So what I did originally, website's a little bit different now, was I just had that one page with the video there. And underneath it was like, this is how I do a book launch. Now, the funny thing is when you watch it, as I'm interviewing people at the beginning going, hey, you know, what do you think of Steve and this book? Everyone's sober. So it's all kind of like, oh, it's an honor to be here. You know, he's really used his years of experience to help us benefit. It goes on over the next like 2 minutes and we're all getting more progressively wankered and drunk. So about 2/3 of it, they're like, I didn't know this fat bastard can even spell, let alone write a book. It's, just, it's so abusive and vulgar that I just thought it was funny. So I posted that up as a video. I still think it's the world's best launch party. But here's the funny thing. I think it was relatable. Without putting any effort into trying to do a book launch, people saw it as just a bunch of creators misfits, which is what we all are, and they could relate to it. And I think a lot of people wanted to be in that party. So that's what took it off. I think that video is very responsible for getting me into all these different areas. And you know, you mentioned Brendan Turner and all the other podcasts like this that I've ended up being on. since the book came out.
It's awesome, buddy. Your energy is great. I'll tell you what, before the show even gets down to the brass tacks, people are already ranking this as probably one of their most favorite Capital Hacking of all time. This is, the personality here is just great. And the name dropping was the best, most fluid name dropping I've ever heard, Steve. So I'm going to put that as the subject line, the best name dropping technique of all time by Steve Sims. Just because there's no listener left behind, blue fishing, define it real quick. Would you define the book's thesis?
Blue fishing was my thoughts on how people should really be communicating. We call it the blue fishing, the art of making things happen, because people are losing the ability to communicate. They are losing the ability to dream. They are losing the ability of going for stupid. And we're all starting to settle, and we're all starting to tread fearfully. A lot of people now won't have conversations with other people because they're scared if something is taken out of context.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of having a conversation where maybe they're a little bit more thoughtful about having, they go the other way and they don't have a conversation at all. And I'm a firm believer that the second we lose the ability to communicate, which we're getting close to, everything stops because we're being taught, think about it. We're being taught to bark orders at everything from your car to your bloody phone to everything. Alexis, Siri, you know, all of these things now. Amazon, toilet roll, click. You know, if you don't think we're growing up in an AI society, phone up Amazon tomorrow and go, hey, I'm thinking of changing my bog roll. Which one should I use? And you'll get no answer because there's no phone number, there's no one to take your call, and they don't give a shit. It's a demand transactional society, and the second we lose the ability to communicate, we're hurting ourselves.
And just the inspiration for the name, though, real quick. What's the inspiration for blue fishing?
I started running, my first entrance into getting rich people to talk to me was to throw these really cool clubs and parties in Hong Kong, and I would only invite millionaires and billionaires. In fact, the poor people that turned up were millionaires. And so they used to have these funny little passwords to get in because I always felt that humility was a cornerstone that I wanted to see in people. I'm not good with arrogance and I don't suffer fools gladly. So if you could turn up and quote this stupid password, it made you smile going through the door. And if anyone's making any notes here, listen to this. If you filter who goes through your front door, you remove 99% of the problems of everyone inside.
Oh, my gosh. So well said.
So focus on your front door.
So well said.
I just used to say to people, come to the party, but finish this Dr. Seuss phrase, one fish, two fish, red fish. So people would walk up to the door, lean into the meathead and go, blue fish. And they'd be like, go on in, have a good time. And it was just like this fun little thing. And people took it. People were like, oh, you're that blue fish company, because it was a password to get into the party. And then we would always have surprises. People would turn up, we'd end up on yachts, we'd end up in penthouses. And so people realized that if you went to this thing, it wasn't going to be just a party, it was going to be a bluefished event. And so funny enough, people started using it as an adjective. They would phone me up and they'd go, hey, Steve, I went to see Taylor Swift in concert. I bluefished my way backstage and this is a picture of me hanging out with her. So all of a sudden, blue fishing became an adjective of not settling.
Jeez, thank you so much. I was hoping you'd tell that story at that level. Because now let's get into, first of all, so many important cultural, you know, touch points you just said there. It is terrible, the fact that, honestly, does it make your, we're all adults here. I cringe every time people say, Siri, do this or whatever. It just feels like they're using words that really we should all not be speaking that way. I'm a Dale Carnegie devotee. You know, I love listening so that I can hear the other's needs. I'm not perfect at it, of course, but the whole idea is to not impose your will all the time. It's to seek the good of the other. And everything we do is demand this, speak to that. And one last quasi-cultural comment that goes to what you're saying. The shocking thing of the coronavirus this last year was that it seemed to me in the hospitality world, which is what we're in, so we're really attuned to walking into restaurants or into anything and hearing how they address you, it seemed it became the beginning of the ability for the guest to be treated like a dog. You know, the guest is told, stop, what, whatever, you know, none of this, know that. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, wait a second, this is a complete pivot in our society. And so at our companies, guests are not treated that way. Even if we have to follow certain rules of the government, we don't speak it in terms of orders. We speak it in terms of, hey, here's what we're trying to do to comply or whatever it is. But it's always done with the other's intention, not demands. And you are right. I forgot Siri and Amazon and all that silliness. That's probably why we talk so awful, perhaps.
I know a lot of people think it's a very innocuous thing with the masks, okay? But to me, it's a symbolism of something greater. And also a hindrance on one of my superpowers, which is my freaking smile.
You do have a great smile, bro.
And I connect with people. You connect with people through smiles, right? Yeah, you could see my eyes smiling. But the thing is, when you take away that human element of communication without words, man, that sucks. It does. And now it's like, I don't even want to have a conversation at the grocery line with the cashier like I normally would, you know, and say, hey, how you doing? You ready for the weekend? I just want to put my headphones on and keep to myself because you can't even see half my face.
The problem is that in COVID, we have become forcibly antisocial. You know, you're correct. You can have a conversation with someone from another country that you can't quite speak the same language at, but a lot of the communication is done through your face and through your body language. And we've had all of that removed. And everyone is kind of bitching about it. And we've had a year, and sadly, a year can train us on those habits. Now, here's the bad thing. We started social distancing the second MySpace was invented. You know, we have a baby now. We don't go and tell our friends. We post it on Facebook and that's the banner. So we've literally been socially distancing for years and years and years and years and years. I am praying COVID has made us realize the error of our ways. And when COVID and we're all vaccinated and we can all get back out there, we're going to value what we lost and what we were losing without realizing it. And do something about it. The real danger, the real sickness will not be COVID of 2020. It will be if we fail to learn from it.
Hi, this is Melanie McCallum. Josh and I are just so grateful for the many investors who already joined us at Accountable Equity. Accountable Equity is so much more than a capital group. It's really a community of accredited investors that want to learn and grow together. I just want to personally invite you, if you want to find out more about this type of investment and see if it's right for you and your family, please visit us at accountableequity.com.
Hey, it's Hal Elrod, author of The Miracle Morning, and you're listening to Capital Hacking with Josh and Eric. Enjoy.
To that point, you're definitely an out-of-the-box thinker, and you've always been. I mean, that's how you went from East London, as you say, is not the best part of town, to where you are today, working for Elton John for contract years. Nobody says that, by the way. People say, I met Elton John. They don't say, I worked for him. I'm just coming off being under contract for the last few years. Nobody says that. And I love, that's what I'm saying about how you're the best name dropper. Because other people are like, I know this guy. No, you're like, oh, just came off a bit of a contract. So anyway, my point, let's jump to the real meat and potatoes. Let's get to the last few. You know, we only have a little bit more time, and we want to share this other part of your life, and that is how people work with you, Steve, just because I want to understand it too. I know you do the keynotes, and you're phenomenal. I would sit and pay for keynotes with you. I know you have – do you have coaching as well?
Yeah, I do coaching. There's a few different kind of touch points, and really they are set up as to be based on your acceptance level and your tolerance level and where your mindset is. It's like trying to feed a baby caviar and then try to work out if the baby likes it. You know, the baby hasn't learned all of these taste buds yet. So you can't just throw yourself at people because it would scare the shit out of them. So we have a free Facebook group called An Entrepreneur's Advantage with Steve Sims. That kind of gets you into that, okay, this is how I talk, this is how I relate, this is how I communicate. And it's in a mass setting. And then I have a private group under Sims Distillery, which is where I have personal conversations, live Zooms with our members. But it's not for everyone. So yes, I do the coaching. Everything can be found at stevedsims.com. I do the coaching, I do the speaking, but it really is based on what your acceptance and tolerance level is and whether or not you're aggravated enough to want to do things differently.
Aggravation. So aggravation is the key to everything you've brought it up. You've brought it up like six or seven times. The oyster that's aggravated produces the prettiest pearl.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's very, that our favorite author is Ryan Holiday, who you name dropped a few minutes ago.
Ryan,
one of your buddies out there in Austin. All your friends are in Austin. I know that. Tucker Max, another guy we like a lot. So Ryan Holiday wrote that book, right? The Obstacle is the Way. I said it to myself this morning because we're heading into some tough decisions and work. And I'm pissed about it. I'm like, am I doing this wrong? And then I said, wait a second, maybe I'm doing it right because this is getting harder. You know, so you're right. The oyster's getting more aggravated. Man, I like that one too. So that's like the core of where your training goes. So let's jump to what I wanted you to come on the show and talk about for a minute. Since if you don't mind, let's get deep into masterminds. You know, we watched you do it with Brandon Turner and David Green and all those good guys. What is a mastermind to you? Would you mind just starting at the top? What's a mastermind experience?
Oh, you caught me there. it sadly could be the biggest waste of your time and money because masterminds suddenly became, there were too many of them and everyone was doing them and everyone was populating them out. And it became too like conveyor belt. You've got to understand what a mastermind is. And a mastermind is for you to benefit, to be made uncomfortable, for it to disorientate you, for it to confuse you, and for them to spit you out into the planet, becoming more impactful. That's what a mastermind's for. Virtual will never replace, because understand, of the 10 speakers, presenters you see on stage, there are 50 people in the audience that now become your support mechanism. See, the whole point of masterminds, to be completely blunt, is half the presenters could not show up. Most of the power are the people that you meet that are also aggravated, as I like to term, creative disruptors, misfits, that suddenly realize while they're at home with all their other buddies feeling as though they don't fit in, they go to a mastermind and the feeling should be the realization you were never meant to fit in. You were meant to dominate, lead, conquer, design, disrupt. And that's what masterminds are for. It's to increase your community, increase your support mechanism, and the crowd is important. Again, it sounds like a pitch and it's not. I'm asking you to do this for you. I, 3 years ago, wondered if I had the credibility to get people together to become uncomfortable. And I literally posted, I'm going to look after you for 2 days for $2,000 and I'm going to get your thought patterns made uncomfortable. Come with me. No dates, no location, and a PayPal button. Okay? And people started paying. So then I created something called the Speakeasy. And what I do with my, and I'm suggesting this for you guys, and I worked with Brandon Turner and David on this, well, actually Tal on this. When you do an event, rather than focusing on who's going to be on stage, focus on who's going to be in the chairs. And every seat that's sold, you can do it by automation or you can do it manually. Get an email out to them to say, hey, Josh, Eric, thanks a lot for subscribing to the mastermind. What's your problem? And then find out what they're currently dealing with. And that will dictate who goes up on stage to answer that problem. And that's how I do my speakeasies, and that's what a mastermind should be. So always focus on the community and the crowd and the attendees before you focus on who's going to walk on stage with the big ego.
What a way to sort of flip it upside down, right? I mean, normally we think, okay, I'm going to get the marquee name, and then I'm going to like attract people with all the people that are going to be on stage. But I love that, flipping it upside down and saying, no, fill the room, fill the theater, get asses in the seats, and then find exactly what they need to put on stage. It's brilliant.
And I would love to sit here and tell you that I planned this out and it was all superior intelligence, but you've known me for too long to realize that would be bollocks. So when I sold my first seat by saying you'll have me for 2 days, a friend of mine was the first person to sign up for $2,000. Now, I've been doing speakeasies for 3 years now. My next one's in San Diego. And I phoned up my buddy, and literally the conversation was, Josh, you've just paid me $2,000 to spend 2 days with me. You don't even know where it's going to be. And I literally said to him, what's your problem? Meaning, you know, are you crazy? And he took that word and he went, thanks for asking, Steve. I'm having a problem with my social. I'm having a problem with my marketing. I'm having problems with my copy. And I was actually on the phone with him just to kind of like wind him up, thinking I was going to be wiring everyone that two grand back. And I suddenly realized that he was actually giving me his problems. And so the next person I went to, and I did this all myself, the first one, and I was like, thank you very much for subscribing, but I need to ask you, what is your problem? So I changed my tone to get the question. But so many people want, and that was it. Everyone was like, I can't believe this. I signed up and they actually asked me, because Eric, I'm going to pick on you for a second. How many times have you gone to an event based on who the marquee name is, but then got the most value out of Timothy, Dorothy, Susan, Philip, that you've never heard of in your life, but whose story resonated more with the problem you had at the time?
More times than I can count on. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've worked with some big names who, a lot of big names, will go up on stage and not want to tell you how it happened, you know, or they'll go down. Some of the biggest names can be up there. They'll have you clapping like demented sea lions at the end of that speech. And then you'll turn around to the person and go, did you like that? And they'll be like, oh, that was fantastic. And then you go, so what are you going to do from that? And they're going to be like, I don't know, but it was fantastic. It motivated me. There's no answer. There's no technique. There's no tip. What you need is a Tucker Max up there going, hey, this is how you do a book. A Ryan Holiday up there going, this is why you do a book. And the reach of a Jay Abraham up there going, this is how you scale a business. And get, you need people that actually give you the answers so you leave the room more educated than when you walked into a room. That's what it should be. So I think working in reverse is actually the way it should have been all along.
And in that ecosystem, first of all, those are great people for those skills. Where do you fit in? Do you run? You said you have a speakeasy coming up. So in that speakeasy, how many people will you put in the seats intentionally? I know it's intentional. And how many will you bring in to assist with the problems or speak?
So we never go over 40 people. Okay, we've got ours on the 19th and the 20th of July, and I think there's 3 slots. So by the time this goes out, it's probably gone. But we never allow more than 40 people. My first one I did with 25, and it was quite a small group. My next one I did, there was 62, and it was too big a group to be intimate. We found 40 was a beautiful mark. So we literally communicate with every single applicant to make sure that they are the right person and to understand what their problems are. And then we go out into my Rolodex and I go, well, okay, you need to be focused. And here's the perfect example. My last one was in Scottsdale. And when I was communicating with the people that were coming, they wanted to grow their credibility and grow their authority, okay? Well, the middle word of authority is author. So I had Tucker Max, Sharon Lecter, and Mark Victor Hansen come in to talk to them about the power of writing a book, what it does for them, and then what it gets them into. And of course, like in the situation of like Mark Victor Hansen and Sharon Lecter with Rich Dad, Poor Dad and Chicken Soup, they wrote,
yeah,
they didn't write a book. This is what I loved about them. They didn't write a book. They went in to write a franchise. It was a different mindset. So we had this whole conversation and then people were on about, you know, that team. So we had Cameron Howell come in to talk to him about culture.
Come on, yep, man. These are the best names in my bookshelf, man.
Oh, my God, yeah. Cameron's a diamond. We love Cameron.
He's awesome, bro.
We had Joel Weldon to talk. Now, have you ever heard of Joel Weldon?
No.
Right, okay. Joel Weldon is one of the only speakers in America to be a Hall of Fame speaker in every single speaker society. Toastmasters, National Guild of Speakers, one of the only speakers. Very few people have heard of him unless you were like Jay Abraham or Tony Robbins or people like, because he teaches people how to deliver a speech. And one of the problems we had was when I'm giving presentations, I get nervous. So I brought in one of the most prominent speaking coaches in the planet to teach you on how to give a speech. So that's the stuff that I do. I bring the people in that maybe you've never heard of, that can actually disrupt the way you do business and to make you create impact.
And do you call them, you call them speakeasies, but are they, you call this format a mastermind. So how long does it take? 2 days. And are there a lot of hot seats and breakouts? And how do you change it from what might a listener who's listening to this now, masterminds were new to me 3 years ago. They may be driving and they may think it's just a presentation, but there's a little more to it, right? The format.
No. In fact, I've got friends that I've said, hey, I want you to come in because, you know, your solution is what we're looking for. And I want you to be with my crowd for an hour. And they've gone, I can do an hour's presentation. And I've said, no, I don't want you to do a presentation. We don't have any slideshows. We don't have any whiteboards. And we have no stages, okay? So we stick them on a chair within the 40, so we're all at a level playing field, no pedestals in our rooms, and they converse. So they will talk about what's going on, but I've always said to them, if a person has a question that you've not quite answered, they have been taught and ordered to ask a question for you to refine that. And I've had a few people go, oh, no, I don't like to do that. I like to run through my presentation. And then I'm said, well, then you're not the person, you know? So I want to bring in Tucker Max and go, hey, and he will start doing his stuff. And Tucker, can you go back on that? And he'd be like, hey, absolutely. We have conversations. The whole point of a speakeasy is to have a conversation with someone that excels and has a unicorn talent in something with a bunch of creative disruptors to want to be able to learn from that. And it's a conversation. And if you, one of my presenters, are not willing to have that interruption and conversation, then you're not going to be one of my presenters.
Talk about refining. It sounds like you've got a heck of a program. And this is a great intro in general to not only you, Mr. Steve Sims from East London, but also to the world of why masterminds are helpful. It does go back to the concept of Napoleon Hill, though, right? That to solve your problems and to aggregate people that also are dynamically trying to solve problems together in one space can create a mastermind. So you are the exact right guy we wanted on the show. I think this is probably, if we were to dedicate our shows, we have over 170 shows. I would say a good portion of them went towards this world of mastermind, trying to articulate why it's been so impactful for us. And you've done it better than anybody. So thank you for that.
It's a pleasure. Masterminds are not going anywhere. In fact, we need to be doing more of them because more than anything, and you said it right at the beginning, capital is about your community. You need to have the right people around you. You don't want cheerleaders going, oh, Josh, you're so wonderful. That's Auntie Elder. You know, you don't want that. You don't care. You want challengers. You want people that are going to prod, people that are going to help support, but challenge why you're doing things. And that's what you get from masterminds. You increase your family dynamic.
Hey, can I just share some learnings that I had recently when it comes to mastermind? Because I recently joined a new one. And talking to the founder, and I asked, why is it so affordable? Right? It's all relative anyway. And it's specifically designed that way so that there isn't the pressure, because we've all been in masterminds worth, you know, thousands, tens of thousands. And the pressure, even on a subconscious level, maybe conscious, where you're trying to get the money back through sales or networking. And now you've got commission breath in conversations because you're like, I need to make my money back. I need my ROI to justify and tell my wife that I'm in this expensive mastermind, but look, I made it back to this one relationship. But I just wanted to highlight that for anyone who's starting masterminds, keep in mind your price point, because if once you get to that, it's kind of pricey for most. They might be in your mastermind trying to sell. And you know, people want to connect. People want to go deep. People want to have deeper relationships and not just. Of course, we're going to eventually do business together, but let's not force it. Let's go on a little date. Let's have some aperitif.
But I had a coaching client of mine, and she wanted to do this event. And I don't want to go off track, so pull us back whenever you need, Josh. She wanted to do this event, and I said, great, okay, let's break it down. Let's understand the why, because a lot of people throw events because they make money. Okay. And hey, that's one way to do it. That's one way to look at it. But when you do that, you're taking your eye off the road. And I said to her, you need to understand, first of all, what impact are you creating? Who's coming along to the event? And we went through like about three sessions of coaching with her. And she was really kind of getting to the why and getting to the reason and getting through how it was going to follow and the flow and everything. And then the fourth meeting, she jumps on the phone. And she said, I found a brilliant venue and I've already put a deposit on it and it's got 600 people I can fit into the venue. And I said to her, you've just gone arse backwards. You know, you need to get out of that contract faster. You haven't sold a single ticket. You don't even know what the problems are you're there to solve, impact you're there to create, what you're going to be disrupting. And straight away, you've put your eyeballs on the liability of a 600-seat auditorium. And then it starts, and we've all seen this, early bird specials, VIP front row, get this, get that. And all of a sudden, you're focused on the sales and not the impact. And that's why we, as I said, and I this one for San Diego, I think we've refunded maybe five people that have signed up, and then we've had a conversation and gone, hey, do you know, funny enough, you would have loved Scottsdale, but we're not handling those answers in this one. So let's refund you, and then we'll let you know when the next one's on. And we've refunded the people. But is it really? Not really. Do I really want a room of people sitting there going, well, this isn't answering my problems? Or do I want to focus on the community? That's why 60% of the room is always full of people that have been to other events of mine, because they realize that I'm there to answer their problems, not to help them assist my bank balance.
Steve, can you please put some kind of reservation? It can be in pencil to come back on this show with us in the future. You are dynamic and fantastically beautiful. I just want to throw it out there. You're beautiful.
For all of those people to come see me.
I know, it's a podcast, for God's sake. Most people can't see it. He's so handsome.
I look like a younger version of Brad Pitt.
He does. He does look like a...
Uncanny.
You got your corrugated metal wall behind you, which I think is your signature, and you do look great, buddy. Thank you very much for being on the show. Thanks for joining the team, and thanks for helping so many people. We sometimes call this an audio mastermind, and we hope we've achieved some of that for our guests and our listeners today. So thank you, sir.
Cheers.
Wow. Wow, you made it, everybody. Thank you so much. Eric and I have always said that the people who join us at the end get the pearl and the prize.
Awesome. Folks, don't forget to like and share and love what we're doing on social media. If you want to hit up Josh, you want to hit me up, those are the best places to find us. We are always camped out and ready to talk and put the fire on.
We stand by on social media. By the way, I know we're on Capital Hacking at Instagram, Capital Hacking on Facebook, and Capital Hacking on my personal favorite, LinkedIn.
Yes, because you can always find major players on LinkedIn. I know your favorite. These are some power players on LinkedIn always.
Gary Vee, he's my boy.
But Gary Vee also talks about the power of Instagram. So if you also want to find us there, we're doing a lot of really cool, sexy things on Instagram. So always you can reach out and DM us on Instagram if you have any questions or you want our time. We are always camped out and living there as well.
We will get right back to you. And just like we always say, you are now part of the team. This is a team that's here to add value to your life, and thank you for adding so much value to our life. Remember to share this podcast. Helps us grow it bigger and bigger each week, and we appreciate you posting a review on iTunes. You cannot believe how powerful that is.
Absolutely. Like and share this with anyone and everyone that you think it will add value to, and we appreciate all of that love and support. And do not forget, with great power comes great responsibility. Woo.